Glory to God. Glory to God. I know I am. Praise God. It's good when we gather together in the name of the Lord, Him being in our midst. I'm so glad that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is right in our midst.
Amen.
Amen. And so we know, because the Lord has spoken it, that although we can't see Him with our eyes, He is right here with us today. Amen. He's right here with us today, and we need to acknowledge that, and we need to be mindful of that. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So I welcome you here, and follow up on what my wife said. I welcome the ones of you that's live streaming with us today. Praise God. And my prayer is, and I'm going to pray in a minute, but my desire is that your hearts be open and that you receive from the Lord, that you receive the Word of God today, because there's a reason that we gather together. There's more than one reason that we gather together. Amen. And we need to go to church, don't we? We need to gather together. We're already at church, but I should say it this way. We need to come to church. And for the ones that don't go, they need to go to church. They need to go to church, and that's important. Amen. The Word of God is important. Amen. All right, we're going to jump right in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You are, all that You've done. Most of all, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who You sent here into this earth for us, to redeem us, because without Him we had no hope. But because of Him we have hope. Hallelujah. Because of Him I have eternal life. And so, Father, I thank You for sending Your Son, and I thank You for all that You've done for us, for all that You are doing. And now, Father, I pray that everyone that's here in the sanctuary, everyone that's viewing this service, I pray, Father, that their hearts will be open, their ears will be open, and that they will receive from You, not receive from a man, but receive from You. Father, I realize I am a vessel that You use to communicate to Your people, a one vessel, not the only one, but one vessel that You use to communicate Your word to Your people. So, Father, I pray that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive. And I pray, Father, that they have their Bibles ready to go right along and read the Word of God for themselves. Thank You, Father, for Your anointing upon me, and that I'm resting in that anointing right now. And Father, we're going to give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen with me. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, I tell you what, I think a good place to start would be Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55. Turn there, please. We'll take off from Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you from this chapter, and then we will move on. Verse 8 says, God says, "For My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So my subject for you today is having the right heart, or have the right heart. Having the right heart. Glory to God. Now, we understand that we're living here in the earth. We have a body. We have a natural body. We are natural people. The Word of God declares that we are spirit, soul, and body. And I like to say it this way. And I learned this from hearing Brother Hagin teach, that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Say it again. We are spirit. We're spirit beings. We have a soul, our mind, our intellect, our reasoning, and so forth, emotion. All that's in the soulish area. And we live in a body. And we're living here on the earth. And so, because we live on the earth, and because we live in a fallen world, and you know the story behind that, I think you do. We live in a fallen world because of Adam's treason, because of his fall. We live in a fallen world. And because of the fact that we live in a fallen world, we have to deal with the natural side and the spiritual side. And of course, the natural is going to pull after us strong. You hear me? Amen. The natural is, because when you look around, everything you see is natural, right? You know, when I look out at the congregation, and from time to time, you know, I'll see people, some smiling. I see some not smiling. I can't figure out why they wouldn't be smiling, but some folks are not smiling. And believe it or not, I've been preaching a long time. Been preaching a long time. Been preaching here 35 years, but I was preaching a number of years before we ever founded this church. So I've seen a lot over the years. And sometimes you see people with just, they have strange looks on their faces while you're preaching. And sometimes you can really get in the natural and begin to wonder, you know, when you're preaching, you want to stay in the spirit, right? Amen. But sometimes if you ain't careful, your mind can wonder, think, you know, they got this strange look on their face. Am I all right? You know, is my pants zipped up? But you don't want to look down to see, because that's embarrassing. But you understand how natural things can get your attention. Amen. But you know the Word of God says also, don't be moved by their faces. Don't be moved by their faces, because people have different expressions for different reasons. Sometimes they just plain don't want to be in the meeting. And then sometimes they're going through things and they are in a wrestling, they're in a battle, because they're trying to connect with the service and the things of God, but yet the things on the outside are pulling at them. And then you got others, you know, they don't like the sister sitting across from them, or the brother sitting across from them, so they trying to deal with that. So you got a whole lot of things going on. But let me tell you, that's all in the natural. You follow me? That's all in the natural. God wants us to get connected up in the spirit. Regardless of what's going on in the natural, God wants us to hook up and connect in the spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's the reason, see, Jesus said that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we have to be mindful of the fact that, yes, we are in the world, but no, we are not of the world. And so since I'm not of this world, what world am I of? If I'm not of this world, then what world am I of? Well, the Bible tells me that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, where is the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, that's in heaven. Well, guess what? Guess what? That makes me a citizen of heaven. The Word of God says we've seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're living in a natural world, but we should be heavenly minded. We should be spiritually minded. All right? Are you still here?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we read in Isaiah 55 where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. Amen. God's thoughts are higher than the natural. God's ways are higher than the natural. Are you still here? Amen. So we gotta connect with the higher. We gotta connect with the higher. That's how we win. That's how we are victorious, when we connect with God. Praise God. Now, having said all that, because we live in a natural world and people view things naturally, especially if they are not spiritual people, you ever wondered why it says in the book of Galatians that if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, everybody say spiritual.
Spiritual.
You which are spiritual, restore that person. Not you that are natural, because if you try to restore him in the natural, guess what? He or she's still gonna have problems. So it tells us we that are spiritual are supposed to restore them. So it's important that we remain spiritual and that we see things through spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. The Bible says that man looks on the outside and God looks at the heart. Remember, my subject is having the right heart. And I want to talk for a few minutes longer concerning man's view of a person and God's view of a person. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel. Sixteenth chapter. I want to read you a little story here. I'll get there as soon as I can get my pages unstuck. Everybody say, have the right heart.
Have the right heart.
Now remember this. If you're going to have the right heart, you got to see things the way God sees them. Amen. You have to approach things the way God would approach them. Do you have 1 Samuel chapter 16? All right. Let's begin reading at verse 1, okay? And we'll just read a little bit. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?'" That's another sermon right there. "Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you.' So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord is anointed,' and surely, he said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" Now, before I read on any further, notice Samuel was a prophet of God, but now he's looking at things in the natural. You still here? He's looking at things in the natural. So let's read on. And that's what we do sometimes. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him.'" Now, I'll finish reading verse 7 in just a minute. Do you know many times we make the same mistakes? You know, praise God. I give God glory. I do. I think God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. Amen. I do. And I'm grateful for that. I'm going to tell you something, though. I didn't marry her because I thought she was beautiful. Because there's a lot of pretty women out there that will send you through the ringer. You hear me? There's a lot of handsome guys out there that will send you through the ringer. What's that saying? Y'all help me out. Beauty's only skin deep, but what's it? Oh, my goodness. Y'all know that real well. I wasn't going to say that. Okay. But beauty is on the skin deep, right? So we got to make sure that we're not moved by beauty. We're not moved, ladies. Listen to your pastor. Don't be moved by muscles or the lack thereof. Don't be moved by height. What you should do is go to the Lord. What we should do is seek God. I think I told y'all this one time. I'll say it again. When I was in the service, born again, wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, but I was born again. I used to pray every night. Every night. I do mean every night before I go to bed. It would be one of the last things I say to the Lord before I hop into bed and go to sleep. Didn't know her. Lord, send me a wife. Thank you, sir. Good night, Lord. Next night, same thing. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? I'm so glad God, the Father, didn't look over at Jesus and say, there he is, that lame old prayer again. No. He didn't say that. Every night, every night, I mean every night, Lord, send me a wife. First of all, I had already made up in my mind, and this is not a marriage session, but I'm going to throw it in anyway. Even as a young single man, still learning about the things of God, and being in the military, you see a lot of stuff going on. So I had already made up in my mind as a young single man, I was determined that I was not getting a divorce. I got to do this thing right the first time. I got to get this thing right the first. Now I'm talking about me. That was me. And I said I got to get this thing right the first time. Because I saw some crazy stuff going on while I was in service, folks getting divorced left and right. I seen wives slipping out on husbands slipping out on wives. I saw it all. I says, I want absolutely no part of this. So, Lord, please help me get it right the first time. Lord, you send me a wife. So I prayed it every night. Lord, send me a wife. Thank you, sir. Every night. I did what I knew to do. I wasn't articulate. I'm really not that articulate now, but thank you all for listening. But when I first saw her, I never saw her face. I never saw her face. I saw the back of her head. Now, you have to understand, I'm not spirit-filled. I'm certainly not used to hearing from the Lord. But in McLean's Grove Baptist Church, God spoke to this young man. I'm talking about me. And I'm sitting behind a woman that don't even know I'm back there. And he told me, she will make you a good wife. That's what the Lord said. Didn't know the woman. I said, I didn't know the woman. But what had I been doing? I'd been praying. I decided to seek. You follow what I'm saying? I made a decision. I'm young, immature. I'm still growing. I know very little about God, but I learned enough to know. And sometimes you can learn things from natural circumstances. When you see people missing it and making a mess out of it, and you decide, no, Lord, I don't want to go that way. And I sure don't trust my own judgment, because I had opportunities to mess this up. You're a military man, got on a uniform, you can catch a woman. Oh, yes, you can. A lot of them think you got money. Most of us didn't have any. You're wearing a uniform, they think, man, you know, here he is, got money, he's in the military, we can go places. I chose not to go that route. I chose to seek God the best way I knew how. The best way I knew how. So I put it in his hands. And he took care of the rest. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In a couple of weeks, 48 years. My testimony is he does all things well. I better get off of this. I'll be shouting, running, and all those. You'll be following me, won't you? Yeah. Glory to God. But now, stay with me. Stay with me on this. They still have verse 7 on the screen here. Let me read it again. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. And listen to what he says. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the what? Outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Everybody say, have the right heart. Praise God. There are churches that choose their preachers, their pastors, simply on what they see physically. Not all. But you know, if you can dress up real good, smell real good, you're a man, sometimes the single ladies will be, there'll be enough single ladies to get you voted in. But no. We can't look at the outward appearance. God told Samuel, you're looking at his outward appearance. God says, I look at his heart. I'm looking at his heart, and I'm refusing him. Let's read on a little further. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither have the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. You should want a king that the Lord has chosen. You should want a husband or a wife that the Lord has chosen. You should want a pastor that the Lord has chosen. Oh, I could go on. Verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all these young men here? Then he said, There remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Now, before I finish reading this, let me flip this, detour just a little bit. Some of you may be like David. Some of you viewing me right now may be like David. All the other brothers or whatever, they're up where the action is, where the excitement, and you feel lowly just keeping the sheep. I just want to tell you, God knows where you are. God knows where you are. And when your season comes, God's going to send somebody to get you. Somebody ought to shout. If God can find me, he can find anybody. I wasn't popular in school. I was just a quiet little fella. Am I right, Pat? She's one of my classmates. She was not quiet. Raise your hand, Pat, so everybody know my... Come on, raise your hand. Don't be shy. It's my classmate there. I wasn't popular with the girls. I was just quiet. Even if I had me... a little girlfriend, which I really didn't. It didn't last long. I remember one girl was kind of interested in me, and she wrote me a note. You know how them silly elementary school notes is. I love you. Do you love me? Yes or no? Check yes if you love me. Check no if you don't. So I checked yes. So we wrote notes back and forth for a while till I got tired of it. I wasn't in love. I don't remember exactly how I wrote it, but the last letter I wrote to her was, I'm tired of doing this. I don't know what all I said, but she wasn't thrilled about that. So she wrote me another letter and she told me off. This is in elementary school, folks. A few days later, I saw she had her another boyfriend. And I was a little jealous, but it didn't last long. I was immature. You understand what I'm saying? I was immature. But anyway, we got to move along. Praise God. Praise God. So, verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. This is David. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him. For this is the one. And this is what I was about to tell you. I grew up on the backside of the backside. We didn't have electricity, didn't have a bathroom. We listen at this. Most folks, well, a lot of folks didn't have bathrooms in those days, but they did have outside toilets. Anybody know what outside toilet is? Come on, raise your hand, testify. Amen. We would listen, are you ready for this? We were so poor, we didn't even have an outside toilet. Now that's bad. Well, Pastor, what'd y'all do? I was a young man, I took a run for the woods. I tell people sometimes, we were poor, but I had the biggest bathroom around. I had acres. I had acres. I could run and hide anywhere. And I did. But you see, and of course, my sister was right there with me. She was poor too. I don't want to be in this by myself, so I'm going to call you out. We were both poor. But here's the thing. God knew where I was. And God had a plan for my life. So God found me. He found me. And he called me. And he anointed me. And I've got to give him the glory because man didn't do it. He didn't choose me because of my physique. He didn't choose me because I was well known in the neighborhood that I lived in. No, none of that. He chose me because he had a calling on my life. He chose David. David was keeping sheep, little shepherd boy. But God had a calling on his life. He was called to be the king of Israel. So God said, go get him and anoint him. So you have to understand, natural man, even Samuel wouldn't have, Jesse wouldn't have, none of them would have chosen David. But God did. Why? Because they don't see, or they didn't see, the way God sees. They were looking on the outside. They was judging by outward appearance. But God says, I can see beyond that. I'm going to look at his heart. And yes, David made some mistakes. He made some serious mistakes. But David was a great king. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at another example. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. Now, in Jeremiah, chapter 17, I'll begin reading at the 9th verse. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. You see that? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even, now get this, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, we need to read that again, don't we? I, the Lord, search the heart. Don't you ever forget that. When God's looking at you, when God's looking at me, he's looking at our heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. That's the reason we must make sure that we have a right heart, that we keep a right heart. We know that God, listen to this, we know that God loves good works, right? As believers, we should do good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, put it on the screen for me, please. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. I just want to prove what I just said. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain what?
Good works.
Good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So I'm not trying to make light of good works. We are to maintain good works. The Word of God tells us to do good works. Any way that we can help minister in the name of the Lord, we should do that. We should do that. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. We do the good works. God looks at our hearts. In other words, stay with me on this. Our good works that we do should come from our heart. The good works that we do should come because we love God. The good works that we do, we should do them because we love God and we love people. Not to be seen. Let me say that again. Not to be seen. Not for the praise of men. Not looking for a pat on the back. But we should do what we do because we have a good heart. And we want to please God. And we want to do what's right because it brings glory to God. I don't have to have an award for doing good. Because God's keeping good records. You're still here. Hallelujah. And yes, good works has its benefits here on earth, but the greater benefits are on the other side. Now, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, just put that on the screen for me. I'm just trying to speed this up a little bit. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Isaiah 1:19. If you are what? Willing and obedient, guess what? You shall eat the good of the land. So, see, we reap benefits while we're here in the earth, but we also reap benefits on the other side when we get to heaven. If we're willing and obedient. Obedient to who? God. If we're willing to do what God tells us to do, if we're willing to do it because we love God, it may be inconvenient for us, but we're going to do it anyhow because we love God. Or you can flip it around and say, not do it because we love God. Maybe it's something that God don't want you to do and you know it's not right. Don't do it. But I want to do it. Don't do it. If it displeases God, don't do it. It's him that is willing and obedient that will eat the good of the land. In other words, God will bless you because you love him and you're obedient to his commands. Still with me. Hallelujah. We'll go just a few minutes longer, then I'm going to let you go, or at least change the service. How many of you, when you get to heaven, you want Jesus to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? I'm raising both hands. Hallelujah. I want him to say, well done to me. Well done. Well done. Hallelujah. When we stand before the Lord and he talked to us about our good works, it will not only be what we did physically, but the attitude of our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Y'all still with me? Can you give me just a few more minutes? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen at this. And I may continue with this next week, but I want to at least start here. Drop down to verse 13. I begin there for the sake of time. Verse 13, it says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Wow. Woo-wee. Let's think about that for a moment. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. There's my works laying before the Lord, being tested by fire. Matter of fact, go ahead on the screen, verse 14, please. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will do what? In other words, if your works cannot be burned up, you will receive a reward. Verse 15. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Oh, glory to God. Yet so as through fire. Let me tell you something. Remember we read If we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Well, let me say this. If we're willing and obedient, we'll also receive a reward on the other side. You know, we should serve the Lord because we want to. You know, I've had people tell me, and I've heard people say, well, you know what? God called me to preach. I don't want to preach. I know God called me to preach, but I don't want to preach. Got some preaching, I'm preaching, but I really don't want to. I'd rather be doing something else. What greater honor can you have than for God Almighty to single you out and tell you, I want you to carry my gospel for me? How dare you tell me I don't want to? My son hung on the cross for you. He bled for you. He was pierced for you. He died for you. He took your hell for you. He rose from the dead for you. And you gonna tell me you don't want to? What are you saying, Pastor? That person's heart's not right. I didn't say they weren't saved. You follow me? I didn't say they weren't saved, but their attitude's not right. We need to make sure that our hearts, our will, line up with God's will. Because folk can only see on the outside, but God's looking at the heart. So God knows if we're really willing to serve Him. He knows if we're willing to take up our cross and follow Him. So when we stand before Him and our works are placed before Him, Lord, I tell you what, I preached and I did this and I didn't want to, Lord, but I did it and I did. Look, I don't want my works burned up because my attitude was wrong. I don't want my works burned up because I was doing something that God told me not to do. That's the reason I'm getting ready to close this. We'll have to finish this next week. But that's the reason I'm so careful as a pastor, and I ask y'all to continuously pray for me. As a pastor and as a leader of this church, I've got to make sure that I do everything the way God wants it done. Y'all hear me? Can I get an amen out here somewhere? Glory to God. This is not my thing. This is God's thing. Yes, He used me to be the founder of the ministry, but it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. And I can never lose sight of that. You hear me? I can never lose sight of that. I must never lose sight of that. That I've been called by God to do this work, and I must do it right. And there will be distractions that come your way. There will be hindrances that come your way, and yours too. But we got to set our face like flint and say, I'm going with it because this is what God told me to do. It's not easy, it's not comfortable, but that's okay. This is what God told me to do. I'm going with it. And God will look at your heart and say, yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. As I get ready to close, like I said, I'll finish this later. But Jesus is our example, isn't He? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was being tormented, knowing what He had to go through. And He asked His Father, Father, is there another way of doing this? But you know what He quickly said? Not my will, Father, your will be done. In other words, what Jesus said is, I have made your will, Father, my will. Say that again. Father, I have made your will my will. And this is not going to be comfortable for me, but it is your will for me. And so I will do your will. Jesus had the right heart, didn't he? I said, Jesus had the right heart. Why don't somebody bless the Lord here? Oh, come on, bless him like you mean it. Hallelujah! But I will tell you this. When you make a decision that you are going to do what's right, you're going to do what pleases God. And by the way, when you do what pleases God, it's going to displease probably most people. But when you make that decision, you become a blessed person. You hear me? You become a blessed person. And God's got you. And he will not let you fall. Everybody in the world can be talking about you, cutting you down. But if you got God on your side, you're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side. Listen to me. You may be in the woods in the forest on fire, and you need to get to the other side. You're going to get to the other side. And the flames will not kindle upon you. God will get you through. Because what? You have his will at heart. Your heart is right. Lord, I want to please you. God's going to get you to the other side. And there's not enough devils to stop you. Glory to God. Has this blessed you? Let's make, and there's some more I want to say about this, and I'll say it later. But we need to make sure that we have the right heart and not doing our thing. Not doing our thing, but doing God's thing. Because our works are being recorded. And we'll see it again. Do you know that this message that I'm preaching to you today, it is recorded, and I'll see it again. Do you know that this message that I preach to you today, one day is going to be tested by fire? I believe it's going to come out shining. How about you? Amen. Glory to God, because it's the word of God. It's the word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. So glad to know, Father, that your word will never return to you void. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to ask the question. If the Lord's been ministering to you about making some adjustments, I don't want to know what they are. I don't need to know what they are. But what I want you to do, just raise your hand. You can just raise your hand and put it back down. He's dealing with you about making some adjustments. I want to say this to you right now. Obey him. And right where you are seated, just make that commitment to him right now. Lord, I'm making the adjustments that you require of me. And I know it's you, Lord, so I'm going to make those adjustments. I'm going to get my heart synced up with your heart. I'm going to get my will
sing.